Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Muthoot Capital Services Q4 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Elara Securities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Shweta Daptardar from Elara Securities Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Lizanne. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Elara Capital, we welcome you all to the earnings conference call of Muthoot Capital to discuss the Q4 FY23 and FY23 earnings performance. From the esteemed management today, we have with us Mr. Ramandeep Gill, CFO, Mr. Matthew Marcos, CEO. Without further ado, I now hand over the call to Mr. Ramandeep Gill for his opening remarks, post which we can open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you so much, Lizanne. Thank you so much, Shweta. Very good morning to everyone. Very happy to converse with each one of you know, after one quarter. I'll say, you know, if we compare these results previous to with the previous financial years or with the previous quarters, the only one thing, you know, wherein we are very proud of, though we have been, you know, able to show the improvements in each and every area, but with respect to the GNPAs of the company and the NNPAs of the company had made a huge improvement if we talk specifically in the last 6 months. I'm sure most of you would have seen the accounts also, and also the investor presentation that we have uploaded on the website of the company. The accounts have been approved by the board on the 19th evening, but as usual, what we are doing is we are just about to give you the broad highlights of the entire results. Post that, we will be, you know, introducing you to our new CEO, Mr. Matthew Marcos, you know, who will be giving you the fair idea of what is the targets for the upcoming quarters and where we are going to take this company in this financial year and then in the quarters to come. Let me begin with that we are extremely happy to post quarter-on-quarter growth, specifically in the portfolio of the company and reduction of the NPAs of the company. The AUM of the company stands at 2,102 crore while comparing to the previous financial year, 2,088 crores. The company had adopted a very conservative approach in the last financial year, wherein we want to test because of the increase in the GNPAs, which we have reported in FY 2022 of 25%, and in NNPA it was 5.68%. We wanted to grow very conservative. We wanted to see how the post-COVID portfolio will behave. Trust me, it's no surprise at all. The post-COVID portfolio, you know, have behaved extremely well for us. If we talk about only the portfolio that we have acquired post-COVID, we are not even facing the GNPA number of more than 4%-5%, which is extremely well. The profitability of the company, if we talk about PBT, it was 1,108 crore. The profitability is that we have reported for the financial year, it is 77.92 crore precisely, as compared to the previous financial year, which was 161.82 crore of loss. The total income has been significantly grown up because 444.62 crores that we have reported in this financial year as compared to the 411.30 crore in the last financial year. The disbursement of the company has been increased to 1,318 crore as compared to the 1,147 crore in the last financial year. The company, as of now, is reporting into 20 odd states with a live customer base of 4,89,416. As usual, as I said, you know, without increasing the provisioning, in Q4 of this financial year, we have been able to bring down our NNPA to 2.58% as compared to the Q3, wherein it was 3.63%. The PCR of the company, wherein the provision that has been provided to the NPA book, stands at 89.78%, as high as it can go. The stage three specifically comes at 20.87%, whereas the overall provisioning on the books comes at approximately 20%, precisely it's 19.78%. The leverage of the company compared to the previous financial year, it is standard 3.87 times, whereas CRA is always on the higher side, which is 27.89%. The EPS is very good, very healthy. It's 47.84 rupees. If we talk about the CRAR growth from the last financial year, it was standing at 19.5%, whereas in this financial year we have closed at 27.89%. Therefore, marking a jump of 43.03%. The GNPA of last financial year was 25.93%, which we have been able to bring it down to 20.55%, reduction of approximately 20% into that. We can also say about the actual numbers of the GNPA, but percentage is something which is already reflecting. The ROE of the company, you know, since the company was in loss, so it will not be, you know, a comparable thing to compare the ROE, but still, you know, in Q4, we have reported an ROE of 22.08% with a healthy ROA of 4.88%. The loss, the profit after tax for the last financial year, in specifically in Q4, was 153.50 crore, the loss, whereas right now, in specifically in Q4, we have made a profit of 25.6 crore positive. The overall jump stands at 116.68%. If we compare the profitability with the last quarter itself, we have seen a jump of 29.95%. These are my profitable numbers, wherein, you know, the company has been able to show you that where we can go. We have brought our LTV down to 78.4% as a matter of fact, wherein, you know, the start of the year, we are somewhere around, you know, 80% to 85%, but the average LTV has been brought down to 78%. As compared to the written off, you know, write off of the company, yes, the company has made a write off specifically in H1, which we say is Q2 of this financial year, wherein we have made some sort of write off. This financial year, since, you know, the recovery and the progress that we have seen in the last 6 months is on the higher side. Again, if we have to take a call, and the PCR, as I said, is on the higher side, we will be taking this call in the Q2 of this financial year. The net on fund of the company, which at the start of the year was 411.30 crore, we have closed this year at 489.30 crores. So this is what the overall growth of the company is in terms of the financials. I would like to hand over this call to our new CEO, who has joined us on 15th of May, so that he can talk about the upcoming quarters, how it will look like, the upcoming financial year, and where we are headed towards the business of the company. Mr. Matthew Marcus, are you there?
Yes, Ramandeep.
Yeah, please take it
Thank
forward,
you.
Sir.
Thank you, Ramandeep, and good morning to all. Very, very happy to connect with all of you. As Ramandeep already mentioned, I'm just a week old in this organization. My name is Matthews Marcus. So, as Ramandeep pointed out, last year was an year of consolidation for us, where we could do a very good work on the reduction of NPA. And therefore, it gives us a lot of confidence to go into this new year. So this year, we are, also trying to diversify our overall portfolio. So we are a predominantly two-wheeler loan company so far, but we want to go very aggressive this year also on used car for two reasons. One, it is almost a 4x jump in the ticket sizes, and our customer profile also. So we have a base of about 5 lakh customers in MCSL, and in our Muthoot Fincorp, which we work very closely with for our two-wheeler business. We have close to a crore of active borrowers there. And all of these customers naturally graduate to a used car. So that is our next level of growth, and therefore we see a huge potential there. So till last year, I think predominantly our business was contributed by the dealer business, which is a conventional business in this business. But this year onwards, we are laying a huge emphasis on brand sourcing. So wherever Muthoot Capital Services operates, we have close to 3,250 branches of Muthoot Fincorp. And these are all branches where customers walk in to take gold loans. And that is where we plan to source our business from as an additional channel, which will augment our overall business strategy. Other than that, we also are active in the co-lending space now. We will also be going through the BC model. So a lot of initiatives are being worked out as we speak. This year, from June onwards, we will be looking at about 100 crores of disbursement. The first festive season starts from Kerala with Onam. Onam is going to be is one of the largest festive occasions in Kerala, where we see a huge jump in numbers. So we are planning to capitalize on that. We already started connecting with the dealers in this regard. So from June quarter, we will see our business disbursement figures crossing 100 crore per month. Our overall plan for the year is about 1600 crore plus. That is what we have currently pegged our numbers at. And the way we see the buoyancy in the market, we see this year the business jumping to the overall sales jumping to close to the pre-COVID levels, and that will be that will give us the required tailwinds for us to grow further. And along with the additional business that comes from MFL, I think these numbers are quite achievable. So, yeah, that's all from my side, Raman.
Thank you. So one more thing which I just want to run past is basically the liability side of the company, that where we are as of now and the approach in the next financial year or in the quarters to come, and how we are representing ourselves in the market. So first, let me inform you about the shareholding of the company. It remains, the promoter stakes remains unchanged. Precisely, it is 62.62%. Now talking about the liabilities of the companies and how we are approaching towards the market. When in this, at the start of the year, we have, the GNPA figure of as high as 25.63% and as an NNPA figure of 5.68%. The borrowing mix of the company contained only the working capital demand loan. Therefore, the PSU banks are there which tried to pulled off certain deals based on the higher numbers in GNPA. So in after seeing our Q3 results, we have been able to pull out various banks also, wherein the PSUs which they have pulled their working capital demand loan off in Q1 or Q2, now they have again gave it back to us in Q4. For example, Union Bank, wherein we had a limit of undrawn limit of 100 crores with them. In March, they have provided us the entire limit of 180 crore. They have just re-sanctioning the same. So the idea was there, if you people can see in the investment presentation also, is to change the borrowing mix of the companies as well. Because these type of things wherein, GNPA, if it will strike again, then what is the plan for the company? Are we having enough funding? Are we having, or banks can pull it out at the last minute? So we just tried to mix the borrowing mix of the company with respect to the working capital demand loan, the term loan of the company, the NCDs of the company, and we have also closed two MLDs transaction too. So therefore, we want the borrowing mix to be standard. We want working capital demand loan also, but that will range somewhere around 50 to 60% going forward. In my last call of Q3, I still remember I told that we are trying to bring down our NPA to 3%. Though we have closed at somewhere around 2.63%. Now this year target wherein we will be trying to bring down our borrowing cost to last year we have closed our overall borrowing cost of 9.10%. Though I still consider it as on the higher side. The target for this year would be to source on the fixed deposit book. Right now, since we are having a book, fixed deposit book of somewhere around 35-36 crore, the target is now, you know, to revise the entire scenario with the new CEO who just joined us, to have the competitive rates in the market, so therefore we can attract more and more FD customers. Therefore, you know, right now in Q1 we'll be finalizing some rates, you know, which will be competitive to the outside world. And so that we can also target the corporates and the retails of the world. The target is basically, you know, to have this book somewhere around, you know, 80 to 100 crores specifically in the Q2. We have identified what we can do. The only thing is, you know, the implementation where we will be just starting now as we have over with our Q4 results. So that will help us in becoming more liquid and to face tough situation in the future. For example, the event like COVID, which had an impact on GNPA, we just don't want to have that situation in the future wherein, you know, we are pulled out from these banks. But now, since we are back, we have shown the resilience, we have shown the stability in Q3 and, you know, the better performances in Q4. I'm expecting, you know, to keep the same momentum in Q1 and Q2 also. The channel partners, which my CEO has just explained, with respect to co-lending, yes, we will be exploring more co-lending partners and we will be exploring more BC options too. We are on the verge of finalizing one BC option too, which we'll be finalizing in next 2 weeks for sure. And therefore, you know, we will be increasing the funnel of business lines. So with this, I will be, you know, I will be very happy to answer your questions. Over to you, Shweta.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Aditya Shroff from InCred Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Am I audible?
Yeah, Aditya. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. So I had a few questions. So first of all, with the new CEO, Mr. Marco, joining in, so what would be the key changes in the strategy of the company? Secondly, what will be the KPIs based on which the new CEO's remuneration will be decided? I want to ask this. And lastly, so we had taken a huge write-off of around 212 crores in the fourth quarter last year. So when can we expect some write-backs from this pool? Because even in the last quarter, the management said that we will have a view on this by the next quarter. So do we have an idea now on when can we receive this right back?
Yeah. So Aditya, first question, you know, the write-off of the company, which you have said, I will be taking it. Then, you know, we will be listening to the strategy from the CEO, right? First question, wherein you have put it on write-off. So it was last financial year, the 212 crore that we have added, it was a part of management overlay that we have provided. The company was on the verge of, you know, being PCA as per the RBI guidelines, where an NPA of the company is, if it is more than 6%, then you will be classified under the PCA norms. So from that, you know, over and above our ECL provisioning, we have taken a management overlay of 212 crores. So that was not a write-off, it was just a management overlay. Just to give you brief numbers to Aditya, last opening, we had a GNP of 531 crore. Of that pool, you know, we have been able to recover more than 100 crores now, and we have closed somewhere around, you know, 431 crores in Q4. I hope this answers you briefly, and can we move ahead to CEO for the strategic question?
So what I just wanted to ask, like, from the write-off that we can we expect any write-back this year? Because quarter, you mentioned that by fourth quarter, we'll be able to recover some more amounts from the write-off that we had carried. Right. So in Q2, we had recovered around 38 crores. And in the last quarter, you mentioned that by Q4, we'll be receiving some more of them.
Yeah. So Aditya, if you see the numbers from November to March, which I will be specifically focusing on, right? Therein, we have been able to recover somewhere around 75 to 80 crores. My collection head has joined us precisely on 27th of January, right? So therein, he is just working hard, and I'm 100% sure that we'll be able to recover 100 crore of pool in next two quarters itself from the outstanding GNP of 384 crores from the previous book pool.
From the previous book.
Yeah.
Which has already been written off.
No, not. That is why our GNP is high. The provisioning is there in the book. The write-off is something which we will be taking a call in the Q2 of this financial year.
Okay, understood.
Yeah. And Mathis sir, can you comment on the strategy of the company going forward as asked by Aditya from Incred?
Yeah. Hi, Aditya. So to answer your question, we have multiple things lined up. First and foremost being, so when I look at vintage of the team, so I think we are clearly head and shoulders above our immediate competitors, in the sense that my middle management has an average vintage of about 10 to 12 years in the system, which means they are very, very experienced people. So one of the issues that we face in this industry is a lot of attrition, and therefore resulting to no stability on the ground, etc., etc. So that is a place where we have a clear advantage, where our middle management and the people who really drive the business have a lot of vintage. They've been with us for a long time. Okay. Second thing, on the technology front, we are going to really digitize our entire process end to end. So we have already closed the deal with an LOS, and that will be implemented by the end of June or latest by mid of July. So that is going to, currently our TAT is slightly on the higher side, but our TAT will reduce to 2 to 3 minutes with the implementation of that. We have also parallelly closed a deal with a vendor who develops propensity model. So that vendor is going to work on the entire base of FCSL, Muthoot Fincorp, and the group companies. You will appreciate the fact that Muthoot Fincorp has a database of about a crore active customers. Muthoot Microfinance has a database of about 25 to 30 lakh customers. All these customers naturally graduate to one or the other product of Muthoot Capitals, which is a two-wheeler, a used car, etc., etc. So we don't need to go all over the place. Within the system, within the ecosystem, we have enough customers who can take one or the other loan from our thing. So that is what we want to capitalize on. It's an AI-based propensity model that the vendor is developing for us. And based on that, we will be able to churn out this data and pass it on to our branches through a CRM, which any customer walking in the branch will be able to see that this customer has an offer, and therefore we will be able to close deals these deals much faster. Three, as I already referred to earlier in my talk, our group companies like Muthoot Fincorp and Muthoot Microfinance, they have a huge branch network and a lot of captive base of customers who walk in daily. So the number of people who walk into or come to our branches is a huge number, and most of these people come in a two-wheeler. They are all prospective customers for a new vehicle or an upgradation to a used car and all that. So that is one thing which we are going to clearly capitalize on going forward. I am setting a completely different vertical. So till now, the person who was handling the dealership was also managing the branch network. Therefore, there's a natural tendency for the person to go after a low-hanging fruit, which is a dealership, because that is where the entire action happens. You can't go into a Muthoot Fincorp branch and look for opportunity on the two-wheeler side otherwise. So now this team, which will exclusively focus on sourcing from the group companies, their life will depend on it. Therefore, that business will surely see a huge jump. Fourth was on the liability business. So as you are aware, we are a deposit-taking NBFC, and therefore that is one opportunity which we had not explored so far. That is going to significantly reduce our overall cost of borrowing. As of now, I think our cost of borrowing is around 9.28 or something or thereabouts. That with this opportunity, we should be able to, one, reduce the reliance on external funding to some extent, and also bring down the average cost of borrowings, which will impact our NIM positively. So these are the strategies that we have in mind. And of course, with the expectation that the market would be much more buoyant this year after the they'll shake off the effects of COVID and all. So that is going to have a positive impact on our overall business.
And what would be the KPI based on which your remuneration will be decided?
Yeah, so mine is about both on the top line and the bottom line. Of course, on the AUM, if you look at it, AUM has come down from, 2018 to now because of COVID and related things. So first priority, of course, is to build the top line, bring back to the AUM levels. And secondly, of course, on the bottom line as well. So it has to be a holistic approach where we focus both on the top line and the bottom line. Profitability will be a prime motive. We are introducing a regional state level P&L from this year for our staff, which was not there. We only used to, the P&L used to be managed only at a management level so far. Now we will have all our stakeholders, which is our RSMs, our state heads, manage their P&L. So they will be given the target. So they will be more, till now they were only business drivers. They were sales guys. Now they will be business managers. They will look at P&L at their own, at their respective levels, which will obviously then add up to aggregate to the management level P&L. So these are the initiatives. Even at our frontline staff level, they used to be sales guys who were looking only at a certain number. We are bringing in parameters to fix accountability on default, quick NPA, et cetera, at that level. So it will be a more holistic approach to an annual appraisal than just working in silos where sales does only sales, collection does only collection, et cetera, et cetera.
Last question to Mr. Ramanji. So can we expect any recoveries from the return of accounts which will be directly added to the P&L without seeing any provisioning cost?
Yeah, 100%. See, what we are doing is, as I told you, the plan is earlier there was, one recovery head, whereas there was no repo sale head. Now, we have classified our NPAs into three parts. One is basically towards the soft bucket, wherein, one person will be focusing on a bucket of 0 to 60. Second is basically a person who will be driving the NPAs and taking the funds from the written off accounts. He is basically a hard NPA head. And third is basically the head that we have hired, who is only responsible for the sale of, repossessed assets. So these are the three changes which we have made. Earlier it was under the one umbrella only. Now individual targets have been defined for month on month, and I'm quite sure that the kind of recovery that the company has seen in the last 6 months will be able to replicate the same performance in the quarters to come. And then by Q2 end we'll be able to take some sort of call that what we should do, and whether we should go for a write off or we should go ahead, because first of all, we need to assess that how much we'll be able to take it. Seeing the previous quarter's performance, I'm sure we'll be able to recover some sort of 100 to 150 crores for sure from the old book.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. The next question is on the line of Devesh Mehta from Dinero Capital. Please go ahead. Devesh, your line is in the talk mode. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Now can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah. So actually, I had a couple of questions. First one was on the disbursement side. This quarter, we have seen disbursements degrowing quarter on quarter also and year on year also. And last quarter, we had added few co-lending partners, and we had mentioned that we are about to add a couple of more co-lending partners this quarter. So hopefully, I was expecting our disbursements to increase Amber it did not. So wanted to understand what went wrong and on the co-lending piece, how it's happening, what's the plan there?
Sure. So I'll just reply. As compared to, you know, year in year the disbursement, last year we have done 1147 crore. This year we have done 1318 crore. So suddenly
I'm talking about quarter four.
Yeah, I'm coming.
Okay, sure.
Second, with respect to the quarters, you know, the last, if we talk about Q3, which is basically a more towards, you know, the seasonal quarters, wherein, you know, we have just added one co-lending partner also, rather two co-lending partners in Q3. Therein, that has given a jump of somewhere around, you know, 200 crores to our co-lending. And that too, there was a season also. And specifically, if you see in two-wheeler industry, you will see higher number of figures in Q3. So comparing it with Q3 is something, you know, which we should not, if we have to compare, we can compare it somewhere on Q4 to Q4. Then, yes, there is a bit slowdown because we are about to change our strategies and all. And therein, if we talk about Q4 to Q4 comparison, it was somewhere around, you know, 308 crore in the last Q4, wherein it is around 280 crores, because the focus of the company was towards, you know, to collect the amount which has been financed, and therefore the company has been able to bring down the overall GNPA level. Third thing, with respect to the co-lending partner, yes, the co-lending business, the co-lending partners was about to add, and just now, day before itself, we have signed one more co-lending partner, and we are about to sign one more co-lending partner for EV. So in this quarter itself, from April, May, June, we are expecting from all our co-lending partner to provide us a business of somewhere around 100 to 125 CR. And with adding it to the MCSL business, we are expecting somewhere around, you know, to close this quarter somewhere around between 270 to 300 crore. Then in Q2, you know, we will be able to expand this because our co-lending partners would be there, and their targets have been defined according to the month. Earlier there was a target wherein they have to achieve. So wherein, you know, the seasonal business is there, they have been able to throw more business to us. But now a quarter on quarter targets has been defined to them. And to be very honest with you, the Q1 target, if it is 125 crore, the Q2 target will certainly become between, you know, 150 to 200 odd crores. And then we can expand for Q3 targets for 300 crores. Therefore, the overall target for the entire financial year from my co-lending partner is 750 crores that we are targeting. And I'm 100% sure because partners have already been added.
Okay. Okay. So the 1600 crore target which we mentioned for our disbursement includes this 750 crore of co-lending.
No. That 1600 will come from our sourcing channel through our, as our, you know, CEO has said, through our MFL branches, wherein we will be having some sort of cross-sell, and through dealership business of MCSL.
This will be taken more
seriously, you know, because last financial year, sir, if you have seen, the target is to see whether we are, you know, funding is right or not. The underwriting policy has to be seen. Everything has to be filtered. Our CRO has joined us in the last August, right? So we were just expecting, you know, how portfolio will behave. Now we are okay with the portfolio. Now we are okay with the policies that has been framed. And we are happy to go all out in the market. With addition to the new LOS, I am 100% sure we'll be able to overachieve the same target.
So for the whole year, disbursement should be around 2,400 plus minus. Right?
Somewhere around 2,300 to 2,400.
So we'll be almost like doubling our current last year.
Yeah. Because right now we will be going all out, sir.
Right. So with regards to this, last quarter we had mentioned that we will come up with a strategy plan over next two to three years. So wanted to understand what's the plan for over 3 to 5 years, or any plan or vision that company or management has framed.
Yes. So we have been able to draft it, right? And then when our new CEO has just joined, so he'll be vetting it. We'll be taking input from him also. And I'm sure we'll be able to roll out something maximum by 15th of June.
So probably next call we'll have a clarity.
100%.
Okay. Okay, and in your opening remarks, last statement, you said that there's some VC funding which will be finalized. So wanted more clarity on that. Is there any equity raise you are planning, or what is that?
So right now, if you see, sir, debt to equity, it stands at 3.87 times. The profitability of the company has been jumped, right? So we are expecting, some sort of, equity planning or some sort of tier two capital wherein we have already received offers, right? Wherein by the end of Q2, because we want to go in the market with the improved results.
Right. Yeah. So it will happen probably after Q1. And one more question was on the provisioning. The earlier participant already discussed, but I was just thinking that how do we utilize this 210 crore of management overlay?
Yeah. So what we are doing is, it's a very good question, Dr. Imam, since, I have to, say this, the management overlay is on the higher side. We are keeping our PCR, overall PCR also on the very higher side. If you see, the overall PCR somewhere stands around 60-65%, but in our case, it is 89.87%.
Right.
I am targeting, I just want to, focus on the portfolio first, that where it is going. Now we are very clear, specifically in the Q4, we will be, sort of reversing it, but because this has been created with a norm, that the company has to, save it from PCA norms and all. That norm was 6%. Now we are at somewhere around 2.63%, right? So we will be targeting, we will be standardizing a PCR norm of the entire company, that at any case, we will be having a PCR of 75%. So therefore, if we have to add it, we will add it. If we have to reverse it beyond 75%, we will be reversing it. So a standardized policy will be framed for the PCR.
Okay, and when do you expect this to happen?
It's Q1, because we have to take it to the audit committee and the board.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. And sir, last question was on the resignation of our long-time CEO, Mr. Madhu. Mm-hmm. So, can you just throw some light?
He was in touch with the management from last, 7-8 months, that he want to explore something, something new. That is what he wrote also in his resignation mail also. But we just wanted him so that he can stay, and the basis on that, once our new CEO will be joining, so that there will be a, parallel transition. So he's still there for 3 months, and so that, he can hand over a few things and all. So that was the reason, he was in touch for six, 8 months, but now, since our CEO has joined, so he has decided to take a call.
Right. And sir, on the new vertical of used car, what is the strategy there, and how much percentage of disbursement have you calculated in the, so for example, of 1600 crore which you are planning, how much would go towards used car, and anything new on the risk side which we are updating, because it's a new vertical, how should we look at it?
So I'll just answer you with respect to the used car, right? So we are somewhere, we are expecting a number of 15 crore to 20 crore for this financial year, because we just want to start it. We want to test that where it, and just to give you, we have already rolled out one offer for a used car head, and I'm expecting him to join us somewhere around in Q2 itself, since he's having a 3 month notice period. Therein, we'll be redrafting our policy. For this financial year, we'll keep it somewhere around, 15 crore to 20 odd crores.
Okay. So the per majority quarter. Of still will continue into two wheelers only?
Per quarter. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. If I have further questions, I'll get back in queue. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Rishikesh Oza from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is, what are the slippage number for Q4?
Okay. Hello?
Yes.
Can you repeat it?
So what is the slippage number for Q4?
Okay. I'll just give you this answer in two ways now. if you have seen our investor presentation also, there is a particular slide that we have added, wherein we are showing that, you know, month on month, wherein what was the rollback of the company and what was the roll forward. I'll just give you some glimpse on the, you know, on the zero plus of the company and what was the overall efficiency of the company. The overall efficiency of the company has improved from 92% to 98%. The efficiencies which the company was having for a 30 plus bucket was 78% at the start of this financial year. Now we have closed somewhere around 86% for that efficiency. If we talk about the overall slippage, the rollback movement and the roll forward movement, the opening NPA was 531 crore. We have added somewhere around 100 crores to the new NPA, and wherein, you know, we have been able to collect somewhere around, you know, more than 180 crores from the new plus the old book. So overall slippage, if we talk about it would be, you know, 40% of what we have been able to recover. So which means our rollback percentage is higher than our roll forward percentage, and the closing number was somewhere around 431 crores.
Okay. And sir, regarding, you know, the disbursement you talked about, like you're targeting around 2,300 sort of some disbursements, if I'm not wrong. Okay, so what would be the loan book growth, and how would, how are you looking to achieve such a target of 2,300, 2,400 crore of disbursement?
See, the overall thing is, right, if we talk about the previous financial year, we have already done a 1300 CR of number, right? So this year, you know, we are expecting a growth on that number. We are expecting a growth of at least, you know, 50%, because productivity has to be taken care, and the new channels that we are going to add. Plus, you know, the last year we have started one co-lending business in Q3 end. Right now, we with only two partners. Right now, we have the whole financial year for four partners. So therefore, the number that has been thrown to us in the last year was 300 CR somewhere in the co-lending, which we are, you know, expecting somewhere around 2.5 times increase. So that will take it to somewhere around 750 odd crores. The overall business numbers that the company is doing, plus taking help of my new BC models and also taking help of the MFL branches, which we are trying to explore, as my CEO has said, that it is an untapped opportunity which the company will be taking. We are expecting a jump of at least 50% from the number that we are doing, that we have done in the last financial year. This figure will come somewhere around 2300 to 2500 crores.
Okay.
Yeah.
And sir, regarding, you know, the net credit cost for FY24, like, are we going to, you know, take is it fair to assume that we won't have any positive, you know, number for net credit costs for FY24, because there will be some write-backs too?
So, in terms of write-backs of the company, right? So, net credit costs, if we talk about, I'll just explain this in a very simple manner. The credit cost that the company is taking as of now, right? So if we talk about the ECL model, it depends upon, you know, how the company has been able to perform in the last financial year and in the last financial year. So the probability of default that the company has taken, if we reassess this same basis on the performance which the company has been able to done in the last financial year, our probability of default standard somewhere around 10.5%. Though we are already in the higher side of taking it as 11.223%. So therefore the entire model is something which we'll be reassessing after two quarters if we'll get the same recovery trend. And then, you know, the credit cost that you are seeing as of now, I am still thinking that, you know, it will further get reduced in the quarters to come.
Compared to FY23.
And second thing, the management overlay which the company is having, is this with the ECL and this overlay, We are, you know, sufficiently provided for.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That was it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Aditya Khemka from InCred Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted to ask the question on FinCorp. So, you know, FinCorp has been a sister entity for a while now, and I think the focus on today's call seems to be more, you know, you working in conjunction with FinCorp to increase the AUM and to sort of lend more aggressively and to newer segments. My question is, why was this not an option earlier? That's part one. Part two, if we exercise this option of working with FinCorp, economics be like, are we going to share, you know, a part of our revenue or profit with FinCorp for the assets that we gather to their channel?
Yeah. So, first question, Mr. Matthews, are you going to take how we are untapping the FinCorp?
Yeah, I will take that question. Thank you for that question. So it is not that FinCorp is a newly identified opportunity. FinCorp business was already there. So in fact, to the extent that FinCorp actively helps us in our collection. So we have about 50% of our EMIs get collected through NASH, but rest of it comes through cash collection into FinCorp branches. So FinCorp has always been active with us. There is already a DSA kind of an agreement with FinCorp where we give some payout to FinCorp for cases sourced through them. So what makes us so gung-ho about this initiative this year are two things. One, at the very senior most level from a chairman's level, there is a very clear focus on internal group synergies. It's not that it was not there, but to, you know, implement it at the ground. So I think you know, every company eventually works in silos. Somewhere down the line, maybe the message would have got lost. But now we have a gentleman called Mr. Shaji Varghese, who is the CEO of FinCorp. And me and Shaji have a long association back where we and Shaji used to work together in our previous organization, ICICI, for a long time. So it is between me and Shaji that we decided that we should really capitalize on this opportunity for two reasons. It's not just because of our association alone. Reason is that if you look at FinCorp's book, about 96-98% is only gold loan business. Today, if you look at the market, there are banks which are giving a per gram gold rate of about 4,400, 4,500 also, whereas being an NBFC and having a cap of 75% on LTV, so banks normally give it under the garb of an agri funding. But as an NBFC, FinCorp has a restriction, they can give only up to 75% LTV, which reduces their capability to around 3,800 odd per gram to lend. So this makes their customer base highly vulnerable to a takeover from other banks, and it is happening, and we are seeing that happening. So it becomes all the more important that we create an exit barrier around these customers. If they have only gold loan from FinCorp, it is very easy for them to close that and get taken over by some other bank, etc. But if you have a two-wheeler loan attached to that customer, and the customer any which way has to come every month to pay the EMIs at FinCorp, the chances that he will go away to somebody else reduces considerably. So looking at all these dynamics between Shaji and me, we decided that we should work very, very closely together. So it's a win-win situation for both the companies. So maybe that is a new opportunity that has come up, but it's not that this is a completely new concept per se. Does that answer the question?
It does, sir. Thank you so much. The second question I had was, out of our AUM book today, what percentage is EV? And are we, you know, how are we looking at the EV two-wheeler as a segment, given the salvage value issue with the repossessed vehicle?
Sorry, what percentage? What have you asked in terms of percentage?
Yeah, what percentage of our AUM today is electronic two vehicles?
Okay.
And two-wheeler vehicles. And secondly, how are we dealing with the EV as a segment, because that segment is growing faster within the two-wheeler bucket. So how are we dealing with the salvage value issue? Because as I understand it, the EV battery is the majority value of the bank. So if there's something wrong with the battery or it gets stolen, then even if we repossess the vehicle, how much can we really recover?
Yeah. So right now, the factual position is this, the percentage with respect to the EV portfolio is very low. It will not be even, you know, close to 1% as of now. The second thing which I want to add, you know, as I told you, there is a BC partner which is going to be added, or we are just assessing whether we can make it as a co-lending partner too. Identified already two partners who are specifically into the EVs. So we want to start this from 1st June itself. So therein, you know, the partners have been identified, and target is, you know, to make sure that, you know, we should have a sizable amount of portfolio of EVs also that will be started in Q1. So when I will be presenting Q1 result, definitely I will be speaking on the EVs also, EVs too, because everything is identified. It just has to be started now.
So I add one more point to what Raman said, and the point is that as you correctly pointed out, bulk of the cost of the EV is in the battery, but most of the manufacturers are giving a long warranty and a buyback kind of a thing. So that is the comfort in lending to EV, because so maybe we will restrict our loan tenor to whatever period the manufacturer is giving a buyback guarantee for. So if it is 2 years, then it will be 2 years. If it is 3 years, we can go up to 3 years. So we will take those kind of credit calls in deciding our funding for EV. But of course, it seems to be the future. So sustainability point of view, which is a focus item for organizations today, EV will continue to be an area of focus.
Understood. That's very helpful. One last question. So, you know, we are aggressively lending to co-lending partners. So I think it becomes very important to understand when we lend to co-lending partners, and if there is an NPA in the, you know, customer level, then who owns the NPA? Is it the partner? Is it us? Is it a split between the partner and us? How does it work?
Okay. So we do have an arrangement with the partners wherein, you know, if there is any case, not call it as an NPA, but yes, we have fixed certain limits wherein if the case will go beyond a certain DPD, then there will be, you know, there will be us to the partner that either he has to, you know, pre-close it, or if we have to split it. So there are specific agreements that have been signed with the various partners on that. So we don't want the case to reach at NPA stage only. We want to, you know, close it during the standard stage itself.
And if it doesn't get closed and the payment gets delayed beyond 90, in which case it will be NPA.
So right now we went face a single case for that, and I'm expecting the same scenario to carry on. Because we see, it is not about the partners with that we need. It's all about assessing the partners before onboarding it. Right now, every partner that we are having, you know, is very sound, and they are also having, you know, very good PE investors too. The entire partnerships, you know, that we had in co-lending, and the partnerships which you are going to have in co-lending, they are very sound partners. And, you know, we are expecting the same scenarios wherein, you know, we don't have to, you know, turn out the pages of the agreements that the case has gone beyond NPA. Now what needs to be done? So we haven't faced this, and we are expecting not to face this in the coming quarters too.
Right. Sorry, can I ask one more question, please, to the new CEO?
Yeah, please go ahead.
So just one question. So, you know, my colleague asked you a question earlier in the call regarding how you are, you know, what are your key performance indicators, and you mentioned it's both AUM and bottom line. But in your mind and in the management's AUM more important to you than the bottom line? Because, you know, we are a very subscale entity, so market share obviously is equally important as is profitability. Your head and the head of the board that governs you, which is important.
Yeah. So I'll take this up. So whether, you know, what we can do is we can say that, you know, bottom line is important. We can say that, you know, the AUM is important. It all depends, you know, where we are as of now.
if you speak to me the same question you would have asked on 1st April of the last financial year. For me, the most important thing was taking control over the GNPA. The growth is there. Yes, we will do a sizable growth, no doubt about it. But focus will be remaining on, you know, to recover the entire amounts from the GNPA portfolio. If you talk to me now, you know, the model has been established. The beta model has been defined by the company. The policies have been, you know, redefined by the companies. And we have seen the results also in last 8-10 months. I will be saying that, you know, I will be focusing more on the AUM of the company. So it's all about the, you know, timing, that where we are as of now and where we want to reach.
Understood, so that helps. Thanks a lot for taking my questions.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Dhruv Shah from Ambika Fincap. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So I just have one question on your spreads. We have seen reduction of 53 basis points on quarter basis. How do you see this panning out with higher focus on FDs and expecting, if you can just elaborate on the same, on the spread.
Sure. So spread is basically the version of what we are doing in terms of the AUM. Though if you see the overall spread, if we compare about financial year to financial year, it has increased. But you are comparing it with Q3 to Q4. Q3, as I said, it was a seasonal number, you know, wherein, you know, the company has done exceptionally well because it was season in most of the part of India. And therein also we have added our co-lending partner too, and we have been able to deliver 411 crore disbursement. Now if we compare from year to year, yes, the spread has increased. And if we go with quarter to quarter, because of the numerator, which was on the lower side, that is the reason our spread has been reduced. The target is to have the same spread of 19.78% in the quarters to come.
19.78, right? One more thing,
you know, which I want to add. The focus is also on reduction in the OPEX, which you must have seen too, right? The collection cost is something, you know, which we are in the process of reducing, that how we can reduce it. Earlier, you know, for the software bucket also, the company had, you know, various agencies and all, but now we had in-house team. And just to give you a glimpse, you know, the entire incentives, whether it is a business sales, entire incentives are linked with the recoveries. And one more scheme which we are going to launch is basically to focus on how can we improve our NACH percentages too. Because beyond a point, you can't keep your spread, you can't keep your yield raising. But yes, you can focus on two areas every point of time, which one is basically the fixed cost. One is basically the, sorry, finance cost of the companies, wherein, yes, as my CEO has said, that, you know, we'll be tapping for the fixed deposits. Second is basically how can we reduce the OPEX of the company overall so that we can see quarter on quarter improvements in the spreads also.
So what will be our steady state ROA? Can we expect 5% for the whole FY24 panning out?
But see, I am expecting the same level, 5%.
5%, right?
Yeah.
And what can be our leverage for this current year?
So current year, right now, as I told you, on 31st of March, we were at 3.87 times. In Q2, we'll be taking a call of going either with the infusion or with the tier 2 capital. So therein, reduction, the target is to, you know, have leverage somewhere, you know, under 3 for this financial year.
Got it. Thank you so much, and all the best for the future quarters. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the last question. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Shweta Daptadar for her closing comments.
Thank you. On behalf of Elara Capital, we thank the management of Muthoot Capital to give us the opportunity to host the earnings call. Thank you, sir. Thank you all.
Thank you, members of
thank
the
you.
Management team.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you once again. I hope that, you know, we are able to address most of the queries that has been asked. And we are also very super excited for this financial year, wherein, you know, the team has been completed now, and we are expecting numbers to grow in this financial year. The business volume is something which, you know, we also want to grow in this financial year in a large way.
And now slowly and steadily we are on the verge of reaching that point also. So I'm expecting larger business chunks with more of the funnels, whether it is Muthoot Capital, whether it is co-lending partners, BC partners, or with MFL partners. So just to put together, I want organization to do well, and we specifically need your support. We need your prayers. Best wishes always. That's it from my end. Thank you so much. Thanks for everything. Thank you, investor. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, investor. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Elara Securities Private Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.